This is an interview with Governor Victor Attia at his office in downtown Portland, Oregon. The interview for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen. The date is July 7th, 1993, and this is tape 44, side one. I just asked you about the treatment that the other Arab countries were giving the Palestinians.
Well, certainly there's got to be some element of it. To say that that's the way the other Arab countries treat the Palestinians means it's okay if we treat them that way too. It is not. It's not a good answer on the behalf of anyone. Like way back when we were talking about gambling, and they'd come up and say, "We have dog and horse racing." Well, don't use that as an argument for me, because I don't like either one of them, but I wasn't here when it happened. So don't use that as an argument with me. To say that maybe some of the other Arab countries may miss, I don't think, there's not mistreatment. They may not be able to live, assimilate. Maybe they don't want to, I don't know which. Within the culture where they are. Jordan, you know, they're a little gun shy because the Palestinians had Palestine and Jordan had Jordan. And then the Israelis pushed the Palestinians out of Palestine. And a lot of them, and they also, the Israelis, you know, took off a chunk of Jordan during the war. And that's that now Never Never Land where the Palestinians are.
The West Bank.
Yes. So it's, but still in all, it's not an excuse. Not an excuse at all.
Has there ever been any attempt to combine occupied Israeli territory with adjacent territories of other Arab nations where Palestinians live to create a Palestinian homeland?
Well, they're scattered. Now, I know when I came in, I remember coming in from airport in Damascus, you go by a place where a whole lot of Palestinians are living in Damascus or on the border, whatever, or the boundary of Damascus, I'm not quite sure. And I'm sure there's similar places as you move around. There aren't too many Palestinians really in Lebanon as far as I know. They may be scattered around, but not like I just saw in Syria. I'm sure that they are similar. In Jordan, would be Jordan. However, having said all of that, the position that Israel takes, first of all, there's no discussion of land for peace, is not going to happen. If they say no, we will not talk about giving back this land in order to get peace, then there won't be peace, because there's this strongly adamant on the other side. This is my land you're on, and it is. That's undisputed. That's occupied. Get out of there, and then we'll talk about peace. So, first of all, that has to happen. Second, there's got to be a home for the Palestinians. Now, where that's going to be, I bet they talk a lot about a lot of different places. But certainly West Bank. Certainly West Bank. And then how much of Jordan or whatever or anything else of Jordan is hard to tell. Obviously, the total desire would be Palestine would become Palestine again, but that is so politically impossible that there's really no point in wasting a lot of time on that. So there's got to be another home.
But then you have the area over on the Gaza Strip, which is very separate from anything on the West Bank.
Yeah.
And how would you deal with these autonomous areas separated by their enemies, essentially?
I don't know if I had the real answer to that.
I mean, you have the same problem with the Pakistanis or the Asian Muslims that separated from India into Bangladesh, from what became Bangladesh, East Pakistan and West Pakistan, and they wanted to have an 1,800-mile corridor about 5 or 10 miles wide running between the two countries, which obviously didn't happen. But you know, it seems like. You don't hear about any solutions suggested that would incorporate those.
Really got that close yet. Mm-hmm. You're still talking about the shape of the table.
Yeah.
And you know, when Bush was the first president that really put pressure on Israel to sit down at the peace table, mm-hmm. and they did, as we know. What I thought would happen has happened. I said that with Clinton's election, the pressure was off. You really haven't read an awful lot about peace talks, where the Israelis and the Arab world gets together and talk peace. The heat is off. They don't really have to do that anymore. Mm. Clinton is back, like Reagan was and Carter was. You know, Bush was not anti-Israel. He was as close to the end of the table as any president that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Now Clinton has moved back over to the side of the table with Israel. So Israel doesn't really have to anymore. Mm-hmm. They got their $12 billion loan guarantee. There's really no pressure at all for them to really go to peace talks. So they could do it in a cosmetic way, but they have no intention of arriving in, because there's no pressure on them
mm-hmm.
to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've delayed now is another generation of misplaced Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too bad. It's too bad to think of that part of the world and those kinds of things happening.
What were you hoping to accomplish by going to Israel?
I wasn't looking for anything, and that is politically. I have a lot of good friends in Portland and Oregon, but mainly Portland, Jewish friends, and I mean real good friends. We know them very well, like them very much, and I think they like me. And they want me to go to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I've got it mixed in my mind. It's, you know, I know it's Israel, but you know, it's Palestine as well. But also, particularly, such a historic part of the world. It is truly marvelous. Truly marvelous to see the things we saw. And I enjoyed it very much. Really did enjoy it, with the exception they kept telling me about it. Those were things that I wasn't interested in. I was interested in the history and the things that took place and what it was all about. So. But I enjoyed my stay, but I wasn't looking to, not like when I told you about going to Syria the last time, and I had a mission, personal mission in mind. I didn't have anything like that in mind for Israel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did you accomplish from this trip, this the whole trip?
Well, we really have to, not thinking about myself now, it was a trade mission. I think that we bolstered the amount of work that Oregonians were doing over there. Gave them some leads. It really was left up to the business people to follow up and do whatever business they could do. They did get a better feel, mainly in Saudi Arabia, but to a lesser degree Egypt, and even lesser in Syria, as to the potential for business, so that they could, you know, have their antennas out and see if they could do business. And that was the basic trade mission. Was the basic fundamental reason that we put this group together and went to that part of the world. The Israeli trip was an entirely separate thing. It just happened to follow the three countries that we had gone to.
But you felt obligated to go to Israel if you were going to the other countries?
No, I felt the reverse of it. If they wanted me to go to Israel, I felt obligated to
go
to the Arab
right.
world,
uh-huh.
particularly Syria, which is what I told my friends when they asked me.
Mm-hmm.
I did mention that earlier, that I sure would like to go to Israel, but you understand if I do that, I've got to go to Syria, which they did understand here. You know, they understand it. It wouldn't be that they're not as broad-minded in New York or Florida as they are here in Portland, Oregon. But they understood that. Matter of fact, one of them said he'd sure like to go to Syria. There's really no hope for him to go to Syria, but he'd like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see any reason why he shouldn't be able to, but the animosities are kind of deep.
Yeah. Well, there was some criticism that the trip was basically a vacation and should have been dealt as such, that there was no real important business reasons to be going to the Middle East. for Oregon, but that it was basically a vacation. How did you respond to that?
I didn't. It really wasn't. All you'd really have to do is ask those who went on the trade mission. And they were all perfectly happy.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, they were ecstatic. We met more cabinet heads in one day that they would probably see in 2 years, if at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a governor does, open those kind of doors. And the fact that they were with the governor raised their prestige among the people they were trying to do business with. So they were perfectly happy with it. And when one looks at it, Oregon may be there. Certainly Saudi is not one of our major trading partners, but you take a company or two, they're real important to them.
Yeah.
We sell a lot of wheat right now to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how it goes, but Egypt is up. It could be Japan, Korea, Taiwan, Egypt in terms of size of trading partner, but in this case it would be the sale of wheat. So, you know, how do you know? Too many people expect an instinct, you know, where's the beef? It doesn't happen that way. But for these people to go with a governor to that part of the world was quite a boost for them. And then the rest was up to them to try to do business.
Did you return early from your trip?
Pardon?
Did you return early from your trip?
No, our trip is pretty well planned.
Mm-hmm.
There was a separate group that went to Israel, and part of their trip was to go to Israel, then to Egypt, and then come home. That was part of their trip. Well, I had done mine, and so when I was finished in Israel, I had done all of that. So then I came home. But Dolores, as a matter of fact, and the rest of the people that were with us, they went on to Egypt. And then actually Dolores and my good friend Donna Campbell, her good friend, they actually stopped a day or two in London before they came home.
Mm-hmm.
So each had their own plans.
Mm-hmm.
There was just an entirely different group of people in Israel than there was that went on the other three Arab countries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was a news article that suggested that you came back, or your party came back early because of Crown Zellerbach's decision to shelve a construction of a $30 million state-of-the-art sawmill at Tongue Point, which was a big priority for you here in Oregon.
I was finished.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did they indeed shelve that project?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had trouble with Tongue Point trying to find something really for the community of Astoria. It was by my own motion that the state of Oregon actually bought Tongue Point, which we did. State Land Board owns Tongue Point. But I recall many years ago there was something that was going to go there, and then I think Wayne Morris was involved, and there was some kind of big scandal, and then nothing was happening at all in terms of Tongue Point. And Astoria really needed some kind of economic development, so I said, well, the best thing to do is for us to buy it, the state of Oregon. And then we'll try to, within the state of Oregon, find some kind of economic activity. Thus far, it really hasn't happened. It's been disappointing all the way around.
They tried to put an automobile loading dock there.
The one good thing out of that, it didn't happen. But the one good thing out of that is they did some dredging right around there so the ships could come in. So now it's even better, better potential.
Uh-huh. Oregon has a disadvantage with Washington, particularly Puget Sound, doesn't it, in terms of shipping, in that we don't have the deep sea ports that they have either in Washington or California?
Well, we have to continually dredge, that's true. However, the maritime side, there's two sides of our, we call Port of Portland, one's the maritime, the other is air, which is the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking to Mike Thorne today. I said, how's the maritime doing? And the maritime is doing quite well. The Washington ports, Seattle and Tacoma, particularly Seattle, they jumped on the container thing very early, and we were behind that power curve, so we lost out on that. But we are doing much better than they are on car imports, for example. We're a major car import. and not just the Far East. We get European cars coming in here as well. We're far ahead of them in that department. We are equipped, not necessarily as well equipped for containers, but we are equipped. The whole thing, though, is getting ships to call on us. And that's a very difficult thing, because what we really need is you're a company, and you say, I want my goods shipped out of Portland. You don't really say that. You want them shipped by a company that calls on Portland. So you are the one that asks for the carrier. Well, when you don't really have too much in terms of container, you know, it's very hard for somebody to say, I want to ship out of Portland, or a carrier that calls on Portland. Because when you get that kind of thing going, then the carrier will call on Portland, because they've got a lot of customers to call. So it's kind of hard to put that together. But Seattle got the jump on us for containers. The distance up the Columbia River doesn't really seem to bother them too much. We do pretty well on the maritime side. It has been said, and it's true, that that Oregon, the Port of Portland, is the largest dry cargo shipping in on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
But that's wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Take wheat away, and we wouldn't have that. So. But they're doing well, doing okay.
Well, just a short time after your return from Israel, you had another trip then to Taiwan and Korea, didn't you?
Yeah.
When did that take place?
I can't remember.
The one to Israel.
That was in 84.
Was in 84, and... that was in the spring of 84, wasn't it?
Okay, this would have been in the early fall, or September, October.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that also went into China, inside state-province relationship with Fujian province.
And part of your reason for going was to secure a sister state relations with Taiwan. Isn't that right?
Well, I kept working on that
mm-hmm.
because the legislature, well, to start it all off, what happened was that Ken Jernsted, who was a Flying Tiger state senator, and he put in a resolution for a sister state province relationship with Taiwan. Mei Yi, who was Chinese, she was chairman of the committee at that time. I was governor. And she took it and turned it around and had the Fujian province, which is directly across from Taiwan. That's mm-hmm. the province directly across. Ken came to me and said, gee, what are we going to do? Obviously, he doesn't have the votes to get the job done that he wants. Well, don't worry about it, Ken. I'll write an executive order, which I did, but it just sort of dangled out there. But I still wanted that relationship. I don't know at what point you want to talk about this whole thing, but...
Well, yeah, you had actually there were other trips that you made over there, and this was the first of those.
Well, let me just package this as a
okay.
package. Anyway, they finally passed it. There was a resolution, the Fujian province, China, and then '84, I went there to sign it as the governor. I'll remember that extremely well because I wanted to make sure. Again, my own personal credibility was at stake, that Taiwan was a great trading partner with Oregon, had been for a long time. I even met with the Consul General of Taiwan in my office on the afternoon, and that evening later on is when Carter had said that we no longer recognize Taiwan, we're going to recognize the People's Republic of China. I felt very offended by all of that because Taiwan was such a great trading partner with Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
They'd send delegations and they would buy, certainly they bought a lot of wheat from us, but other things. They'd work hard at trying to do business. So, you know, to me it's a matter of loyalty. And I visited Taiwan and had some good friends there.
So I didn't, in my own personal credibility, I didn't want to make sure that the people in China understood where I stood. And basically it was, I have no problem signing this relationship with China. I think it's a good move, wise move, and I'm delighted to be here to do that. But you do understand that I personally have a loyalty to Taiwan, and that I intend to do everything that I can to continue our good relationship, because they are our good trading partners. You, China, might be. Taiwan is. And I had that discussion when I met with Zhao Zhang. He was kind of curious about it. Apparently all of this had come in advance. And we had a very frank and friendly, very friendly discussion. The only understanding that we had was that if we never quite said I was going to work for a province-state relationship with Taiwan, but it was kind of understood that if we did that, we would not refer to the people to the Republic of China (ROC) because we were talking with dealing with the People's Republic of China. And that was kind of an agreement. I will always remember. I went from there, then that's Beijing, to Fuzhou. There I met Governor Hu Ping. And there we spent quite a long period of time in a very personal discussion, the two of us. And I wanted to make sure they understand that I was perfectly happy to make signing this, but to understand my loyalty to Taiwan. And I will always remember, of course this was done through an interpreter. I'd say something and it would be interpreted and interpreted. He'd say something interpreted back. But then very quietly, he got up, smiled, stood up. We were sitting down facing each other. The traditional style is you have this long table and the dignitaries sit in the middle on opposite sides of each other on this long table. He stood up, reached over and shook my hand. He reached his hand out. And that was just marvelous. I'll remember that vividly, like a photograph, like saying, I understand. It's perfectly okay with me. I'm happy. I understand where you are. Actually, Governor Hu Ping is interesting. I can imagine how the press would treat that over here. You know, Governor Hu?
Right.
But, so I made the signature. Then I continued my interest in trying to get a province-state relationship. And the province is the province of Taiwan, although it's the whole island, it's a province of Taiwan. And I have some good friends there. So I talked to the Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, John Chang, very nice man, knew him quite well. I went to see him, and this now would be in 1985. Yes, 1985. John, I've got an idea. What's that? I said, I will declare this unilaterally. They kept saying they want ROC, and I said, gee, I can't do that. With the legislature doing what they did, they preempted my ability to put ROC. So that was the kind of hang-up. I will declare it unilaterally. Then you declare it unilaterally. Your governor, do that. And you can say ROC as many times as you want. Well, he said, I'll think about that. Then the word came, well, yeah, that's okay. At that time, we were down there at the celebration of the 40th anniversary of retrocession. There was a signing by Montana, Ted Schwinden, and Montana signed a province-state relation. I was sort of an addendum, because it's now only a few days, and I just proposed this idea. So I signed something at that point in time, but it still was hanging out there. Not really completed. And I wasn't sure that they really liked that idea too well, they in the Republic of China. Nothing happened. I came back, and then I recalled during the Chinese New Year's, the council, well, they don't call them council general, the director of the coordinating council of North America for Taiwan. There's a euphemism for the council general. And I said to him, can I talk to you after this Chinese New Year dinner? And I had a good heart-to-heart with him. I said, look, I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to offend Taiwan. They're good friends, but I really do want to have this happen. And I think at that point it kind of broke through. They understood, you know, after this discussion with him. Well, it's right there on the wall. I kept my own copy. The state has a copy, and Taiwan has a copy.
This is a proclamation.
And mine is above there. No, mine's below. And theirs is above. And I made the unilateral declaration, and they made the unilateral declaration. If you'll notice that, I think it was in December of 1986, just before I left office.
Mm-hmm.
We finally got it done.
Proclamation of the establishment of a sister state relationship between the state of Oregon and the United States of America and the province of Taiwan of the Republic of China.
There you are.
Uh-huh.
Now, mine is down below. Now, the language in that one is mine. I sat down and wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I got it done. I got it done without any explosive diplomatic gaffe. The media around here was worried that Atiyah was going to screw things up badly. And actually it worked out really famously well.
Well, and
now the formula, best I can understand, Taiwan finally likes that because there are some states that had signed with the PRC. So they're kind of using the Atiyah formula.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a question I had, and I was wondering whether you ran into it, in terms of having a sister state relationship with Taiwan, either from the Chinese, which you've mentioned a little bit, in terms of their non-recognition of Taiwan as a separate country, and from the Taiwanese of being considered a province rather than a country or a state instead of a country, would that have caused problems with them?
No, because a state has a relationship with a province. A state doesn't have a relationship with a country.
Mm-hmm.
We have a relationship
right.
with a province. So what actually Oregon does, the one thing that they would, they meaning ROC and PRC, would both agree that Oregon has a relationship with two provinces of China.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the disagreement comes for us is to which China? PRC says Taiwan is a province of China. The ROC says Taiwan is a province of China. We'll say the same. But as to who's China,
uh-huh.
that's where they disagree.
Right, right.
Taiwan would say it's our China, which includes Taiwan and all the rest of the mainland.
So there wasn't an issue over Taiwan being a country.
No, because
the Taiwanese don't recognize themselves as a country, an independent country?
Oh yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, I didn't get involved with that kind of thing because states don't have relationships with countries.
But wouldn't this be a tacit recognition of that? That it was in fact a state, not a country? By the very fact that you have a relationship with them on a state-by-state level?
We never got to that point.
Uh-huh.
See, my agreement is with the province of Taiwan. I signed two agreements, one of which was the province of Taiwan and the province of Fuzhou, Fujian province. I signed two agreements with provinces. And so what Oregon has is an agreement with two provinces mm-hmm. of China.
Mm-hmm.
Now we don't jump then as to which, we don't say it's the PRC China or the ROC China. We don't get involved with that. That's maybe the nuance in the Chinese mind, which said, okay, but don't put ROC on yours. Then I would have slopped over into which country we're dealing with.
Were you getting counsel on this from anyone?
No, it's not mine. I was the only one. Actually, I told them that I didn't think that Goldschmidt, or then I said, December. No, I'm not sure whether Goldschmidt had been elected at the time of this Chinese New Year's. But, it's not that whoever might be governor would dislike Taiwan. They just don't have as strong a commitment
mm-hmm.
as I do. And so if it doesn't happen with me, it probably won't happen. And I wasn't trying to intimidate him. I wanted it to happen. And I was trying to, and I think that's true. It wasn't, as it turned out, Goldschmidt, he doesn't have any particular dislike for Taiwan or choosing up between PRC or ROC.